Blog Talk Radio.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neocolonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
And we are back once again at the Voices of New Africa, the show dedicated to the liberation of new African people in solidarity and support of the New African Independence Movement. I am your host, Brother Yera Amati, a.k.a. Prophecy. And as always, we will be joined by some of the brightest minds in the New African community as we have intellectual dialogue on things that are relevant and important to the New African Independence Movement. And as always, we like to start the show by shining the spotlight on an individual or an organization or an event that was significant in the struggle for New African independence. And today, we'll all of this attention on this football player who refused to stand for the national anthem, which, you know, honestly, that's not really that big of a deal because we have a long history of protests against that song. But I thought that it would be kind of cool if we just discussed briefly the history of this song that is called such a big so-called controversy, but I think it's really more of a distraction. Because honestly, when you look at that song and what it means to new African people, this national anthem, I mean, anytime you go to a football game or any place where they sing the national anthem and there are a large number of new African people present, there's always a percentage of them who is protesting that song in one way or the other. You know, and many of them, even if they do participate or stand respectfully or whatever they do, many of them feel conflicted when that song comes on. So this whole idea of him protesting the song is nothing new, not even a big deal, you know. But I think it would be relevant. It would be kind of, you know, if you don't know the real history of that song by now, which I don't see why you wouldn't, because we live in an information age and information is everywhere. But if you don't know, I thought it would be cool if we talk about that. So, the national anthem, Star Spangled Banner, was actually written and actually a poem that was inspired by the War of 1812, in particular, a battle in 1814, the Battle of Fort McHenry. In fact, if you listen to the song, it's obvious the song is talking about war. You know, you hear it, you know, the bomb bursting in air, lay truth to the night that our flag was still there. Well, that was inspired by that battle in Fort McHenry that morning. Francis Scott Key, after this great battle, he saw the flag and it inspired him to write this song. But what people don't realize is that this song actually has more than just one verse, one stanza to it. It actually has five. They only perform the first stanza, and it's a good reason why they don't go into the other ones, because the other ones are quite telling and quite revealing of the true nature of the song, and really the true nature of this U.S. capitalist enslaved nation that has oppressed so many of our brothers and sisters. So let's get into it. During the War of 1812, which was between the U.S., which were no longer colonies at that time, but the United States and Britain, which what they were trying to do was they were trying to take Canada. The United States was trying to take Canada away from the British Empire. But they were unsuccessful. As a matter of fact, they were so unsuccessful that the White House was actually burned down during that war. But one of the reasons why the U.S. was so unsuccessful in this War of 1812 was because of a strategy employed by the British Empire. They began to actively recruit enslaved African people from America, from the United States. They basically promised them if they joined the British Army and fought on behalf of the British Empire, then they would be granted their freedom. And of course, you know, many African people began to run away from their plantation and join and fight on the side of the British Army. And in fact, it was, I think, over 6,000 ex-enslaved African people joined the fight with the British Empire, and which allowed them to be successful. So in this War of 1812, which inspired the national anthem, you know, the only people who were really fighting for their freedom were these group of enslaved Africans who were fighting against the United States. In the song, the national anthem, which was a poem at the time, Francis Scott Key actually addressed the enslaved African who were fighting against them, against the United States government. In the third verse, or the third stanza, it goes, "No refuge could save the hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. In the star-spangled banner, in triumph doth wave, oh, the land of the free and the home of the brave." So there you have it. New African people were directly addressed in the Star-Spangled Banner, and it was in celebration of their death, in triumph over new African people trying to fight for their freedom from the oppressive nation of the United States. That's right there in the Star-Spangled Banner. So on this day, we want to acknowledge, we want to shine the spotlight on the true history of the national anthem and expose it for its racist, oppressive nature, which lays at the foundation of this very country. Because during the War of Independence, during the War of 1812, during all of this foundation of this so-called great country, this so-called great nation, this land of the free, home of the brave, everybody wasn't free. Everybody is still not free. So that's what we wanted to talk about today, which leads us to our subject for today, because we always talk about land of the free, home of the brave, freedom, and at the same time, it seems like we're always on a quest to gain freedom. We're always trying to gain equality, liberty, justice, and all of these things. But one of the biggest problems that I see, one of the biggest problems that I find in my analysis of our current condition and past condition and will be future condition unless we get this right, is there is something that we always overlook when we're dealing with freedom or trying to gain freedom, and that's independence. You cannot gain freedom unless we have independence. See, we are currently in a situation where our political systems, economic systems, social systems, justice system, education systems, all of the systems that govern our very lives are controlled by the very same individuals who have benefited from our exploitation. And as long as that relationship exists, it is impossible for us to gain freedom. See, even after the Civil War, after the 13th Amendment and 14th, 15th Amendment, all the amendments were made and we gained all these so-called rights and privileges and stuff, which was not true. But after that, after the end of chattel slavery, see, that's what it was. We gain freedom from a system of chattel slavery. But the only thing that happened was we moved from one system to another system. In fact, that's what emancipation means. It means a transference of ownership. So we went from being owned and controlled from the individual to being owned and controlled by the state. The system is still intact. So that's what we want to talk about, the need for independence, the need to break away from the chain of dependency from a system that has benefited from our exploitation. And this very system is draped, is founded on white supremacy. And that is a major problem for our people, because as long as we are dependent upon the system, you can never gain your freedom. And we are so dependent on a system that exploits us that if we destroy this system, or if this system collapsed, which you got, if you understand things, the system is actually falling. But we will fall right along with it. But as I said, we're always joined by some of the brightest minds in the New African community. And I definitely want them to weigh in on our topic for today, the need for independence. Do we need independence in our community? Do New African people really need to break this cycle of dependency from this system of white supremacy? And I have my brother Kakaiye on the line. My brother Kakaiye, are you there?
Free the land. Yes, sir, I'm here. How are you today,
Free
sir?
The land. I'm well. I'm very well. Good to hear you early this morning.
Yes, sir. Yes,
so,
sir.
So what do you think? You can weigh in on anything that we talked about, anything you want to.
You know, you brought up some interesting points, and to answer your question off the top, we need independence. We can no longer depend on a system that was designed to exploit and oppress us to come up with solutions that are viable for the liberation of our people. When we talk about the things that go on in this system, how it was created, how it amassed wealth, we have to understand that any solution has to be outside the box. Otherwise, we are reforming, and most people don't understand that every act that we do in this system to change the attitude, position, the treatment of black people in this country is a means of reform. And reform only suggests that the system is okay. It's all right. We don't have a problem with the system. We just want you to change a few things inside of it so it's more comfortable for us. But that's not the solution for our people, not New Africans, not people who want to be free and liberated. These are the things we have to recognize as a people. When you mentioned a great point. You said that when they started this chattel slavery, they just changed the ownership from individual plantation owners to the government. And we have to recognize that the basic premise behind slavery is still intact. All we've done in our attempts to reform it was change the way it felt, but it still remained the same. Oh, well, this is a welfare state now, so you got a lot of us that are content and complacent with the fact that the government gives you food stamps and Section 8, and it makes it difficult for you to recognize that that's just a carrot that they give you so you won't revolt and change the system and overthrow the system. Because as long as we can confuse enough people to keep them from understanding what freedom and independence is about, then they can continue to perpetuate this system of exploitation and oppression. So we got to begin as New Africans, and especially, in particular, conscious New African citizens, we got to begin to teach our children, our apolitical thinkers, our unaware thinkers, that reform doesn't work. All remedies have been exhausted. This is not a system for us. It never was, it never will be, and it will continue to oppress and exploit us. And until we get to those lines of thinking, we will constantly try to change things within the system that allow them to prolong their slavery. You can call it whatever you want to call it, but it's slavery. We don't think about how did they come up with the cost of living. They come up with the cost of living because they figure if you can give them a little bit of something, they will be content. They will stay under the flashpoint of revolution, and we will be able to control them. How did they come up with 1 hour lunch a day? Because they had experience enslaving people, exploiting people, oppressing people, so that they began to do things that make you think that they're doing something for you. But 1 hour worth of lunch ain't doing nothing for me when you're building wealth and a civilization on the backs and sweats and tears of my people. That 1 hour lunch, that's the compensation I get for building a nation. We as New Africans have to look at things with a historical perspective to understand where we are today. And all we've done is change certain aspects of slavery to make it convenient to perpetuate this system. We got to stop it, people. We got to recognize and we got to understand that independence is the only answer and the solution is revolution. Thank you, my brother. I had to get that off my chest.
I hear you, brother. I hear you. You made a lot of great, great points. I mean, to quote brother, Brother Malcolm X, he always spoke of democracy being hypocrisy in America. He spoke about how America is really a colonial power, but it's the worst type of colonial power because it pretends to be other than that what it really is. So it comes up here and it says you have rights, you're free, and you have all of these, you know, great things and stuff like that, but then they treat you like second-class citizen. Matter of fact, I was looking on my Facebook page and I saw this PSA, public service announcement, commercial type thing, where it was talking about how to survive a police encounter. And I have to admit, I agree with everything that was said. Everything that you should do in order to survive a police encounter, you know, being respectful, always put your hands where they can see you, and all these, you know, different type of things, you know, because at the end of the day. The objective is to survive the encounter. When you're in a situation with the police, that's not the time that you want to flex and try to argue and all of these types of things. No, your objective is to survive the encounter so you can live to fight another day. Police have a tactical advantage when they pull you over on the street. They are armed and they are authorized to use that, and they have the support of the state to kill you, basically. But to acknowledge that I agree with what was said on this video is also to acknowledge that we are second-class citizens. Because if we're not second-class citizens, we don't have to make videos saying that, look, if you want to survive a police encounter, these are the things that you have to do. You have to be overly subservient. You have to be overly polite. You have to make sure that they don't interpret anything that you do as threatening or aggressive or anything like that. See, you are basically a citizen, have the rights that they claim that we have, are who they claim that we are in relationships to them. If we're not under a system of white supremacy and oppression, then we don't have to do these things. You don't see white people coming out saying, okay, y'all, we want to survive these police encounters. This is what you do. No, white people say, well, I'm American. I have rights. I'm standing up for my rights. And they'll cuss the police out, and they'll do all of these type of things. Why? Because they have rights. So just an acknowledgement of this video being something that is important, something that is relevant, something that could help us survive in this neocolonialist system, is actually an acknowledgement of our relationship with the system. And if we don't change this relationship with the system, then the next 100 years down the line, we'll be talking about the same situation. the same problems. It may manifest itself in a different way, but it'd be the same problem. And I didn't mean to jump on my soapbox. I have my sister, Ayodele, on the line. Sister Ayodele, are you there?
Yes, Mario,
are you there?
Yes,
free the
I
land.
Am.
Sister, sorry for keeping you waiting for so long. So what do you think about the need for independence for new African people?
I think that we have always been striving for independence since the time that we were able to figure out a way of communicating among each other when we were brought over to leave, to either get back to our homeland or to leave and find an area where we could live as a free people. And I think that that struggle has never stopped. It's just that policies and procedures have been put into place to make a new African people here in America believe that they have a piece of the pie. And that's, of course, integration, whatever. But we've always, if we look at history here in America and anywhere else, there has been a movement, especially after we were so-called given our emancipation papers after 1865. We started setting up settlements, setting up places where we could build our homes, have access to water, have our churches, our schools. And for a time, there was a little bit of the belief that, yes, we can make it. We can do what we can to build, to educate ourselves, most of us came out of slavery with some skills because we were doing all the work on the plantation. We built this country. We did that work. That they can't take away from history, cannot take that away from anybody for 400 years. So we had skilled laborers. We had seamstresses. We had the cooks. We had the women who were intelligent enough that we could start educating ourselves at a very fast rate. So look, so fast forward it. We do not have the belief right now that we can take ourselves to another place in this country and set up our own schools, our own hospitals, our own airports, our own businesses, but run them in a way that will be conducive to our historical, conducive to our mentality, our spirituality, everything about us. And that is what we call the struggle. That is the belief that we can do for self. And we did it. We have examples like Beale Street. We have examples like Wall Street, Rosewood, where we segregated ourselves and showed the population surrounding us that we could only do business with self and be quite productive and actually affluent, meaning that everybody in the society was taken care of, which brings us back to the point where if we want to be independent, it would be based on human rights. We have the right to declare that we are a free nation. We have our government. We have our constitution. We have a system in place where we will set up institutions that will be conducive to our way of thinking and our way of life. And we're declaring to the populace, we're declaring to fellow new Africans, conscious and unconscious, to begin to utilize the skills, the plans, money, to be asking people, think about what it would be like to be in a place where you have people who look like you, who love one another, and we're prospering. Our children have a legacy. Instead of what we have today in a neo-colonial, imperialistic, white supremacist system, where even the minimum wage is designed to keep us always struggling, keep us always on the offensive, trying to provide a way. And even if you really critically analyze it, this system is not set up to have a job for every man, woman, who is eligible. So in being an intelligent people, we should be thinking of certain things that we need to be doing, more into farming, getting factories built, the same strategies and tactics that the Honorable Marcus Mozar Garvey talked about in the early 1900s. Those same strategies are valid. His thing was we need to build our nation in Africa. The Republic of New Africa says we have a place, five states in the South, that we can build our nation. And so we're asking people to make that consideration. Yes, and we have people today. If you do a very microscopic view, not only white people but black people are saying that we do not buy into the educational system. It is not preparing our children sufficiently. It is not giving them a historical perspective, because if you don't know your history, how can you know your destiny? How can you know that you have to be of service, came? So all of these things will be incorporated into our new African nation. So there is a need. Really, we're already operating because we have a subsystem within the system. So we need to make a concerted effort to step out of neocolonialism, capitalism, and step into the Republic of New Africa, where we talk about science, scientific socialism, which is based on an African system from long ago that has evolved, a socialistic, communalistic system that will benefit all of us. Free the land, brother.
Free the land. I am, I will. Well said. You said so much. But, I mean, I think is one thing that you kind of hit on was the reason why it's so important for us to step outside of the European philosophical ideological box, because, as you said, you know, the systems in America are not moving us forward to the highest level of our human potentiality. We are conditioned because other people who don't have our best interests in mind and are in heart, control the systems that govern us, also control the systems that control the way we think collectively. I'm talking about the education system, the political systems, and so on. Because they control those systems, we have been conditioned. We have been indoctrinated into a system, our way of thinking, that is not in our best interest. We don't think in terms of doing for self. We're even taught that the purpose of education is to go out and be able to get a good job, you know, not to be able to create and produce for self. So that's why it's extremely important to step outside of the European philosophical ideological box, so we can practice self-determination and don't allow them to say, okay, we should think like this. This is how we should proceed. This is what is important. This is what we should value. We should adopt the European value system. We really have to erase all of that, and we have to gain control of the systems so we can indoctrinate ourselves into a way of thinking and a way of living that is helpful and useful and productive for African people, so we can actually change the condition of our people. And we're almost out of time, but before we leave, I want to get some final thoughts from our guest, Brother Kakayi. Are you still there? Brother Kakayi.
Yes, I'm still. Yeah, free the land. I'm still here, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Before we get off air, can you give me some final thoughts?
You know, independence is what we're talking about today. And if anyone doesn't have an understanding of the importance of us having self-determination, you know, our own cooperative economics, having land, having a nation, so that we can begin to move forward and securing our liberation and freedom, then we need you to at least recognize that this is an opportunity for you to get the information that you need. A lot of the propaganda that goes on in this country is geared towards us not recognizing that the solution to our problem is independence. And because of that, you have to recognize that there's a concerted effort to try to get us away from the solution. Anytime you see an opposition to something, there's a reason why. And because there's an opposition for us to be independent, obviously there's a reason why. It's because that's the only way we will gain freedom and liberation. And you can contact, you can just make yourself aware by going to Offset University and studying your history, getting with the Voices of New Africa and learning more about the Republic of New Africa. Just Google it. But we're here to let you know that we're not lost. We have a plan. We have an economic five-year strategy. We have a nation. We have land and territory. We have the means of getting our people the liberation and freedom that they need.
All right, brother. All right. Before we get out of here, Sister Iodelli, are you still there?
Yes, brother.
Sister Iodelli, do you have any final thoughts on the subject for today? Do you have any final thoughts?
Just that I concur wholeheartedly with Comrade Kokai and yourself that there is always study, talking to our children, making sure that they understand. Some of us have historians in our family. We have the elders. We need to ask our children to sit and listen to them and to always, from the beginning, my thing is always ask your children, what would you like to be? Not everybody as this country is trying to promote race to the top and 10 ready. Not all of our children want to go to universities, but all our children want to be trained in something. We have tailors. We have seamstresses. We have the potential to have designers. We have people who are mechanics. We have people who have the mechanical knowledge to set up doors. They can be trained to be business entrepreneurs. Right now we're talking about that is what we need, as well as doctors and nurses and secretaries. Yes, everybody according to their ability. Every man, woman, and child being trained for a job, not to just to hire us, but to build us an institution and hire people ourselves. We have people who are very creative. Everything put to the service of the race, everything put to the service of our government that we would like to set up, the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa. All of our talents and our skills, every man, woman, and child who has been in the service, I should say man and woman, who's been in the service, in the military, in the police force, people who have retired can turn to be mentors. We have strategies in which we would like to employ to make every able-bodied new African available and ready to build a nation. And we have the capabilities. We have the talents. We need to put our energies, our money, and our creativity to that purpose. Free the land.
Free the land. I will. And on that note, I'll just have a quick final thought. Basically, it's obvious that we have been indoctrinated. We have been really imprisoned and locked and stuck on a cycle of dependency on a system that is based on our exploitation. It benefits from our exploitation. It has historically benefited from our exploitation. And until we break that cycle of dependency, we can never solve our problem. In fact, we're entering into a dangerous situation, whereas if this very system that exploits us falls itself, then we will have nothing to stand upon because we have been dependent on this system for our very survival. So, in essence, it is important that we disconnect from this system, that we gain our independence and understand, have the confidence to understand that we already have everything that we need. All we have to do is put it together, put our collective resources together, put our collective intelligence together to operate and begin to work toward a different system, a system that is not based on the exploitation of the people for the benefit of a few, a very few, the ruling elite, the bourgeoisie. We can do much better than we are doing, brothers and sisters. We can create a better world. We owe it to our children. And in fact, in 1968, this journey, this path was already started with the formation of the Republic of New Africa. And to those of us who are still members, who are conscious citizens of the Republic of New Africa, I have to challenge us, because too many times I will go to an event or something that is sponsored by the Republic of New Africa, and I see a lot of old people. I just got to be real, which means that somebody's not doing their job, because the future of the nation is in the hands of the youth. And right now, our people, New African people, unconscious citizens, are looking around and they're wondering, and they're trying to find answers, because they see, it's an awakening going on in America right now. They see the hypocrisy within the system, and they're looking toward the leadership to say, what are we supposed to be doing? And many of them are falling into that same trap of reformists, trying to go behind a reform movement, which is going to lead to the next generation going through the same thing. We got to break that cycle, brothers and sisters. We got to go out and get the youth. You can't sit back and wait for young people to come to us, because in too many cases, when I talk to people, too many of our people don't even know the Republic of Africa exists. And our ancestors left us a great blueprint, a great plan. All we got to do is pick it up and implement it. I want to thank everybody for listening in. Thank my guests. As always, I am Brother Yayrob Mati. Join us every Sunday as we discuss topics that are relevant to the New African Liberation Independence Movement. See you next week. Free the land.
We have been trained to hate ourselves and love white people.
We still are exploited as a people. We're constantly fighting for resources.
We've never been citizens, except on paper.
The participants of this are normally victims of this neo-colonialist system.
You're listening to the voices of New Africa. Free the land.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.